This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. So today we're going to talk about what went wrong in the beautiful Garden of Eden that God had made for Adam and Eve. And then we're also going to talk about some of the different homes that I've lived in and some of the memories that I have and some stories that I have and just different things we can learn from each of those memories and each of those things. So we're going to start off with Adam and Eve in the garden. So remember, God had made a perfect place for them to live in, a beautiful garden with everything that they needed. But there was one rule. There was one thing, just one thing they were not allowed to do, and that was to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had warned them that if they would eat from that garden, if they would eat from that tree, they would die. And so they knew that. But God had an enemy, which is Satan, and he is not as powerful as God, but he is powerful as well. And he wanted to ruin the beautiful world that God had made because he hates God. And so he used a snake to talk to Eve. And so the snake said to Eve, "Has God said you're not allowed to eat from all these trees in the garden?" And Eve says, "No, that's not true. We're allowed to eat of nearly all the trees in the garden except for just this one tree. We're not allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So first, Satan had put doubt in Eve's mind by saying, "Has God said?" And now Satan went a step further and said, "That's a lie. God has told you a lie. You won't die if you eat the fruit. God knows that if you eat the fruit, you will be wise like he is. You'll be like a god." And Eve listened to Satan. So first Satan put doubt in her mind, and then he said, "God is a liar." And Eve listened, and she looked at that fruit, and it looked so good. And she really wanted to eat it, and she thought it would be really nice to be like God, to be really wise. But, you know, Satan is a liar. And so we need to listen to God. God loves us, and God cares about us, but Satan is a liar, and he doesn't care about us. So we need to listen to God. But she listened to Satan, and she took that fruit and she put it in her mouth and she ate a bite, and it did taste really good. And then she gave it to Adam, who was there as well, and Adam ate the fruit as well. But you know what? After that, they didn't feel good. They felt awful. They felt terrible. They felt guilty. They felt dirty, just like we do when we choose to do what is wrong. And up until now, they hadn't needed to wear clothes, but now they felt they needed to cover themselves. So they grabbed leaves because they wanted, felt like hiding. And so they tried to cover themselves up. And that night, God came to talk to them like he always did. And usually they would be eager to listen to hear God talk. God loved them and God cared for them and it made them a beautiful home. But now they've disobeyed God, and now they don't want to come and talk to God anymore. They feel guilty and they feel ashamed and they want to hide instead. And so God called out to them because they were hiding, and God said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, I am afraid. I don't want to talk to you." And God said, "Why?" God said, "Adam, have you eaten of the fruit that I told you not to eat of? Have you eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Now, Eve did what we often do when we've done something wrong. What do we often do? Adam said, "It's Eve's fault. This lady you gave me to be my wife, it's her fault because she gave it to me to eat." Now, what Eve did was Eve's fault, but what Adam did was Adam's fault. And although it's possible people can force us to do what's wrong, most of the time when we do what's wrong, it is our fault because we choose to do it. And so it wasn't Eve's fault that Adam ate the fruit. But instead of owning up, instead of saying he was sorry and confessing his sin to God, he tried to cover up his sin and to blame it on somebody else. So he put the blame onto Eve. So God says to Eve, "Eve, what have you done?" Now, what does Eve say? Eve does just what we often do when we do something wrong. Eve said, "It's the snake's fault. The snake tricked me." But you know, it was Eve's fault what she did. It was the snake's fault what he did. And so God gave to each of them a consequence, because our actions have consequences. And so for Adam, it was going to be very difficult to do his job now. So before he worked in the garden, and it was a very nice job, but now there were going to be weeds growing up and thorns and thistles, and his job would be difficult. And to Eve, her consequence was going to be that when she had children, it was going to be very painful and very difficult. Because God, when God made people, he didn't make it to be painful when you have a child. But now the consequence of sin was that it would be very difficult and painful. And then he also gave the snake a consequence too. The snake was going to have to crawl on its belly. But also God gave a promise that one day somebody would come who would be a savior. Someone would come to bring people back to God. And that person is Jesus. But then there was also another consequence. Adam and Eve couldn't live in that beautiful home anymore that God had made for them. They had to get out. And so they had to go and live somewhere else. Sin had ruined the beautiful world that God had made. And that is why there is so much pain and bad things happen in the world today. God didn't make it like that. But when we choose our own way, when we don't listen to God, we bring all those troubles on ourselves. And that's where all the bad things come from in the world. It is a result of sin. But God has sent a Savior, Jesus, and if we will own up to our sin, confess our sin and believe in him, then God will forgive us and we will have peace with God. And one day we will go to a beautiful home that God has made for all those who will turn from their sin and put their trust in Jesus. And that is a place similar to the Garden of Eden, in that there is no pain, there is no problems and no sin. And that place is called heaven. So I'm going to sing you a song which is called "It's Me, It's Me." And it's kind of the story of Adam and Eve in the garden.
When Adam sinned in the garden, he knew that he'd done wrong. But when God asked what's the problem, Adam sang this cowardly song. "It's Eve, it's Eve, it's Eve, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's Eve, it's Eve, it's Eve, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." The woman glared back at Adam and cried, "You've got your nerve. You always say that it's my fault." And then she sang the second verse. "It's a snake, it's a snake, it's a snake, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's a snake, it's a snake, it's a snake, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, give me strength to be faithful. Lord, keep my feet from wrong. But when I sin, give me courage just to sing this humble song. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer."
And now I have another little song, which is actually a Bible verse, and you might know the tune to it. But this Bible verse says the wages of sin is death. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. But then it goes on. But then it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The wages of sin is death, is death. The wages of sin is death, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, is death. The wages of sin is death, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Now I'm going to tell you some stories of from the different homes that I lived in. So I was born on a farm in the Waikato. And we lived on River Road. And the reason it was called River Road is because it was alongside a river. So our house was on one side of the road and the river was on the other side of the road. And on the side of the river was also a golf course. And my dad told me an interesting story of something that happened on this farm. I don't even know if it was before or after I was born, but it's a really neat story. And it's something I think of when I think of that farm. So with the golf course, if you found golf balls that had been hit like outside the golf course and you took them back to the golf course, you would get paid for them. So there was a man who would drive around on his bike, and when he would find golf balls, he would take them in and he would get paid for them. Now, one day my dad was driving along the road and he saw a bag in the ditch or on the side of the road. And so he picked it up. And he was surprised to find there was $900 inside the bag. There were some bank books and there was a passport. And so on the passport, he could see the owner's face and he could see the name. So he knew who it was who owned this bag. And when he found this bag there, he was really sad because he thought that something horrible had happened to this person. He thought that, you know, the man had been murdered or something awful like that, and that's how his bag had ended up on the ditch. So he took it to the police station and gave it to the police, but he felt really bad and really sad. But then sometime later, he happened to see that man at a bus stop. And so he went and talked to the man and said, "Did you lose something?" Now, the man had his bike stolen and the bag was on the bike. So this man thought that my dad must have found the bike. So he said, "Oh, did you find my bike?" And my dad said, "No, I found your bag." And then the man thought that, of course, the thief must have taken the money as well. I mean, why would you not? So he was very astonished to find that my dad had found all of his money and his passport and all that stuff, all his valuable things, were still in the bag. The man couldn't believe it. And so he was very, very happy because that was his money and he was able to get it back again. But I think it's really crazy that that thief, he stole the bike and he thought that the bag was just rubbish. He must not have looked inside the bag, because if he had looked inside, he would have seen what was in there and then he would have stolen the bag as well. But he just took the bike and he chucked the bag into the ditch because he thought it was junk or he thought it was rubbish. And do you know what? The Bible is like that bag. A lot of people think the Bible is just junk or it's just rubbish. But people who have read the Bible for themselves know what a treasure it is. And it is valuable. It is more valuable than $900 in a passport. It is full of promises by God, the God who made the beautiful world that we live in. The Bible tells us how we can go to heaven, and the Bible is full of wisdom. So the Bible is very valuable. But if we don't really get to know it and read it and learn it, then we can be like that thief who just thought, "Oh, it is just rubbish," and not want it. But the Bible is valuable, just like that bag. So that's a story I remember from on River Road. When I was about 5, we shifted down the road to Narrawahia, and we lived on a very interesting farm there. It was a farm that had something to do with the army, because sometimes soldiers would come from the army. And also in the farm, in the hills, there were bunkers. So a bunker is like a little room built into the hills, and it's a safe place for when there's fighting. And so we lived on this farm, and yeah, sometimes soldiers would come, and like sometimes there would be things found on the farm from the army, and they could be dangerous, so the soldiers would have to come and take care of them. And we actually found a bomb that was not dangerous, and my family had a bomb sitting in the cupboard that was not dangerous, but because that's the kind of farm that we lived on. But do you know what? The Bible says that God is like a bunker. There is a verse in the Bible, it doesn't say the word bunker, but it means a similar thing. So a bunker is a safe place, like a shelter, somewhere you can go to be protected. And there is a Bible verse that says, God is our refuge. And a refuge means a shelter or a safe place. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Means he's always ready to help us when we're in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I'm going to show you how to sing this verse.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swell.
And after that, when I was a few years older, we shifted to another farm, which was still in the Waikato, which was a few minutes away, and it was opposite the dairy company, the big dairy company as you go out of the Waikato towards Narrawahia. And we lived right on the top of the hill. So some of the paddocks, like down the bottom, were flat. And then you went up the hill to the cow shed and to our house. So one thing I remember from this farm that we lived in was the horses that we have. So me and my sisters, we worked on the farm a bit. And so we would earn money. And one thing we brought with that money were horses. And I remember some of the horses we had. We had a big Clydesdale horse called Big Timber. And my sister had a big dark horse called Harvey, and I think he used to be a race horse. So one memory I have is one time that I went to ride Harvey. So I rode on a paddock, so the bottom of the paddock was flat, and then I went up the hill, up towards like the house and the cow shed and the driveway. So I rode it down the hill, down to the end of the paddock, and then I turned around and I was coming back again, and I was just walking the horse. But this is kind of an embarrassing story, but as I was coming back on the horse, so this paddock was alongside the road, and there was a car driving past as I was riding the horse, and I wanted to show off a little and show how well I could ride the horse. So I gave this racehorse a little kick, and I wanted to run on the way back. But that horse had more in mind than just running. That horse took off into a full gallop, and I hung on for dear life as we galloped back down that paddock and up the hill. And we came up the hill, and at the top of the hill was the gateway, and the gate was shut. And I thought, oh no, this horse is just going to go flying. You know, it's going to jump over the gate. And I thought I was going to fall off, so I was clinging on. But thankfully, when we got up to the top of the hill, Harvey slowed down and stopped, and I was able to safely get off. But that story reminds me of a principle in the Bible that says pride comes before a fall. If we're going to be proud, we're going to be humbled. And I was proud. I thought I was You know, I wanted to show off. And thankfully, I didn't literally fall off the horse, so that I could very easily have. But I was embarrassed. I was humbled. And I'm going to sing you a little song called If You're Gonna Be Proud, You Better Watch Out.
If you're gonna be proud, you better watch out, 'cause pride cometh before a fall. If you're gonna be proud, you better watch out, 'cause pride cometh before a fall. If you're gonna be proud, you better watch out, 'cause pride cometh before a fall. If you're gonna be proud, you better watch out, 'cause pride cometh before a fall.
Another memory I have when I lived at that house is we used to go to a place called Waharoa, and we went to a hui. So a hui is the Maori word for like a conference or a get together. And so my family went there every now and again for like a Bible conference. And that's a special memory that I have. But close to that place, close to Waharoa, there is a grave of a little girl. And that is a story from history which I want to tell you. It's a very special story about a Maori girl called Tarori. Please forgive me if I don't pronounce all the names properly. So Tarori lived a long, long time ago, back when missionaries first started coming to New Zealand. And she lived in the Waikato, just like I did. And she went to the mission school that some missionaries had made. But there was a lot of trouble between different people in New Zealand. There was fighting. There were a lot of wars and revenge and killings. And so the school had to move to Tauranga to be kept safe. So they were traveling, and there was Tarori, and there were, I think, about 17 or 18 other children. And then there was Tarori's dad, Nakuku, and then there was another adult as well. But on the way, some raiders came. And thankfully, nearly everybody escaped, but not Tarori. Tarori was asleep. And the person, the man that found her, very sadly, killed her. But he found something around her neck. He found this little bag, which had a little book in it. And this was a book that was special to Tarori, and it was a little part of the Bible. It was called the Gospel of Luke. So there are four little books in the Bible called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all tell the stories of Jesus. So she had the Gospel of Luke around her neck, and so that man took that. And when Nakuku, Tarori's dad, found out that Tarori had died, he was very upset because he loved his little girl. Now, usually, if something like this happened, he would go and get revenge. He would go to kill the man who killed his daughter. It was like an endless cycle. But Nakuku had come to listen to the Bible, and he'd come to believe the message in the Bible. And he knew that the Bible says, love your enemies, to forgive and to have peace rather than revenge. And so he did not go and take revenge on the person who killed Tarori. Instead, he chose peace. He chose to forgive. Meanwhile, the man who had murdered Tarori got out that little book and started to read it. And he found that same message that Tarori's dad believed. He found that the Bible says to love your enemies and to forgive and to do good to those that hurt you. And he went to Tarori's dad and asked him for forgiveness. And so instead of these two people taking revenge, murdering each other, they had found forgiveness. Well, through that little book, the Bible. And then that man's son and another person that he knew, they went down the South Island and they took the message of the Bible down there too. And it started to spread around just like seeds. And everywhere, people started listening to the Bible and started to believe it and do what it said. And a lot of killings were stopped and a lot of peace was brought to New Zealand. And by Waharoa, somewhere around there, is that little grave of Tarori. And you know, God allowed that horrible thing to happen for Tarori to die, even though it was evil and awful. But through it, He did wonderful things. And that is something I love about God, that even though he may allow bad things to happen, he can bring such good things out of it. Like so many people in New Zealand stopped murdering and killing each other and started to have peace instead with each other and peace with God and started to believe the Bible. Now, another memory I have, when we lived in Hamilton, I lived in Hamilton till I was 13. And after that, we shifted to Taranaki. But before we shifted there, we often went on holiday down to New Plymouth. My parents liked that area. And I have one bad memory of one time we went down there. On the way back, we stopped at Uranui Beach, and I went swimming with my sister. And we got caught in a bit of a rip, or the tide going out. And so, yeah, we kept getting knocked over by the waves and getting sucked out. And I remember I would get up and I would pull my sister up. She was younger than me. And then down I would go, and down she would go. And then I would get up and I would pull her up, and then down we would go again. And my parents didn't realize that we were struggling. By the time they did, we'd just gotten out. So thankfully, we were safe. But I remember sitting in the van afterwards feeling really shaken up because it was really, really scary. And there are many people who have drowned in the beach. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." And so, you know, the waves can be very powerful, and they're a little bit like sin. Sin is also very powerful, and it can be very hard to do what's right sometimes. But God is more powerful than that. So we can ask God to help us to do what's right. I'm going to sing you this little verse.
The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Psalm 93, verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, mighty waves of the sea. Psalm 93, verse 4.
So then we did shift. We shifted to Taranaki. We moved to a beautiful farm that my dad was actually able to buy. So before that, we just lived on different farms and he had farm jobs. But when we moved to Taranaki, he was able to buy his own farm. And to him, that was a bit of a miracle because he didn't have any help like from his parents to buy it. And it can be very expensive to buy a farm. But he called his farm Ebenezer Farm. And that meant, the word Ebenezer is from the Bible and it means God has helped me. And so he named the farm Ebenezer because he knew that God had helped him to be able to buy a farm. And it is a very special farm. It's really beautiful. It is hilly. You can see on one side, you can see Mount Egmont, Mount Taranaki. And on the other side, you can see Mount Rapehu and Tongariro. And there's also something else that is very special because it's a very hilly farm. On one of the hills, there is a cave. There's actually three caves, but one of the caves has glowworms in them. So when you go into the cave at night, it looks like you're looking up at the night sky full of stars. That is something beautiful and special that God created, is the little glowworms. And then there's also the beautiful mountain, Mount Taranaki, which is really beautiful. And I know a little song which is called Little by Little, and it is about mountains. So I'm going to sing you this song.
When mountains tower rugged and high, rise to the challenge, look to the sky. Trust in the Lord and start out to climb. Reach for the goal one step at a time. Little by little, inch by inch, by the yard it's hard, by the inch, what a cinch. Never stare up the stairs, just step up the steps. Little by little, inch by inch, growing in Christ takes work every day. Reading your Bible,
hope you have enjoyed these stories, and I hope you may have learned something as well. I will see you next week. Bye.